More, more, more. Do more, achieve more, create more, work more. That's perhaps one of the, at least in our society, one of our favorite words. More, more, more. We understand that the world is spinning fast. One thing I'm realizing as I get older is that time flies. And it seems like the older you get, the faster the time goes. I don't know. Do you all feel that? I certainly do. And we are busy. This desire for more, achieving more, creating more, working more, causes us to be more busy. How much more can we juggle? Right? Sports and recreation, overtime at work, family, church activities even. We have so many things that are going on in our life that pull us in so many directions. And so as we juggle all that goes on in our life, sometimes it's almost impossible to keep it all in the air. Or maybe some of us realized a long time ago that we can't keep all those balls in the air as we strive to juggle them. And for some of us, as we look out on the world, or perhaps as we look even in the mirror, we realize that we are wearing ourselves out. And at times, maybe in our better moments, but maybe even in our weaker moments, as we think about wearing ourselves out, we ask the question, for what? Why are we doing this? And so I think in our bones, we know that there is a problem going on in this overly driven, more, more, more society. So the commandment we're going to talk about tonight, although it perhaps doesn't get as much attention or fanfare as some of the others, I think the principle that we find in this command should receive our full attention. And it's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this is the fourth command. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You are to continually observe the Sabbath day. It's a different kind of day. On this day, you are to cease, to stop, to rest. And that's the very definition of this word Sabbath. Cease, stop, or rest. It doesn't mean seven. It means cease, stop, or rest. The Sabbath day follows the pattern of God's creative work, what we see in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He worked for 6 days, then rested on the seventh day. Did God really need to rest on the seventh day? Does our God get tired or wear out? No, of course not. He didn't need to rest, yet his rest on the seventh day is a sign of his completion of work. He creates the world. He creates humanity. And then, in sort of a satisfactory manner, he rests. He stops. He ceases. So Sabbath observance was testimony to God the Creator. As the Israelites remembered their Creator, they were remembering that they were not the Creator. On 6 days they worked, planting, taking care of the animals, harvesting, all that was involved with daily life. But on the seventh day, they stopped, and they completely stopped. Despite all of this work on the earth and with the earth, they didn't create the earth. The Sabbath day reminded them of that fact. They didn't create the wheat or the sheep or the barley. God did that. He's the creator and the sustainer and provider. Each seventh day rest, they would be reminded that God was in fact the creator. And even God, the creator, this is so important, even God, the creator, took a day-long break. And you see in that commandment who all was to adhere to this commandment? Children, servants, animals are commanded to stop. Foreigners residing in their towns, the community is to go quiet. So this commandment is mentioned in a few other places. I'd like to like for us to look at some of the other passages that mention this commandment. The first one I'd like for us to look at is in Exodus 23 and verse 12. So just a few chapters over. 6 days, do your work. But on the, this is Exodus 23 verse, or chapter 23 verse 12. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not do work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. And so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. In this passage, we see one of the purposes of the Sabbath observance is so that slaves and foreigners may be refreshed. There is a very practical function of the Sabbath, providing rest, providing an opportunity for slaves and foreigners to be refreshed. And then going over a few more chapters, Exodus 31, verses 12 through 17. Exodus 31, 12 through 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." There's another purpose here. It's a sign. Each week, the seventh day rolled around, this holy day was a sign to them of their connection with God, their deep relationship with their Creator. The whole day was a sign, pointing to God. And you can imagine to those who did not live in relationship with God, what was going through their mind as they saw all of these people stop. It's a sign of their relationship with the Creator. And perhaps some would ask questions. Why do you stop on these days? Why do you choose to do nothing on these days? Now verse 14 in Exodus 31. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. And again, that word holy means set apart. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from the people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Let's skip over to chapter 35 and verses 2 and 3, because the point I'm going to make about Exodus 35, 2 and 3 connects with what we see here in Exodus 31. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day. You notice the strong warnings in these last two passages? Why is there such a strong warning? Why is it that those who break this commandment are to be put to death? I mean, that seems a little bit strong. I think at least one thing is it proves the importance of ceasing. Sabbath keeping was to be central to the life of the people. It was a sign of who they were and who they were specifically in relationship to God. And it was vitally important that they stopped to be refreshed and to experience the rest that God was giving them. It seems crazy. Work and you'll be killed, right? Work and you'll be killed. Doesn't that seem backwards? We understand being killed for killing someone, but this seems a little bit crazy. I think it points, my only point right now is it points to the gravity of this command. Put to death those who break this law. Now, skipping over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. It's the same command that we see in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but the background, the foundation for the command is different in Deuteronomy chapter 5 than what it is in Exodus chapter 20. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Here's the sort of the foundation for it. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The foundation is that at one point, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and because of God's grace and leadership in their life, they are no longer slaves. For 400 years, the Israelites worked in Egypt without even getting a week-long vacation, and let alone a single day off. This meant that they were no longer seen as persons, as people, but instead simply slaves. It was about how many bricks they could make, not about who they were, not about their heart, not about their lives. They were simply slaves. They were hands and legs and backs. Their lives had been whittled down to being machines for the Egyptian markets. And so Eugene Peterson wrote this: lest any of us do that to our neighbor or husband or wife or child or employee, we are commanded to keep a Sabbath. The moment we begin to see others in terms of what they can do rather than who they are, we mutilate humanity and violate community. It is not using the claim, I don't need to rest this week and therefore will not keep a Sabbath. Our lives are so interconnected that we inevitably involve others in our work, whether we intend to or not. Sabbath keeping is elemental kindness. Sabbath keeping is commanded to preserve the image of God in our neighbors so that we can see them as they are, not as we need them or want them to be. So it's about spiritual health, we might say, for ourselves and for others. It's about seeing the image of God in them, not seeing others as people who can simply get work done for us. Now for us, puts us in an interesting position as Christians, right? We recognize that our hope and our life is found in Jesus Christ. And so what do we do with commands like this? What do we do with the Ten Commandments? As I said in our introduction lesson, the principles that we find in these texts are still very important for us. And so for us, even on this side of the cross, I think we ask ourselves, do we really need a command to stop? Do we need that kind of command? One preacher wrote, nothing less than a command has power to intervene in the vicious, accelerating, self-perpetuating cycle of faithless and graceless busyness. No less than a command has the power to intervene, to stop this cycle. Of course, we're no longer commanded to observe the Sabbath, not in the same way as the Israelites. a side note, and this could be a conversation for another time. So how about that for a cop-out? A Sunday and Sabbath are not equal to each other. They're different, completely different. So this isn't the Sabbath day. Now, we might be honoring a Sabbath principle on Sunday. Some of you may have enjoyed a nice nap, maybe just got up 45 minutes ago, and that's good. That's resting. That's stopping. That's ceasing. And that's a good thing. But Sabbath doesn't equal Sunday, or vice versa. But saying that, it's important that we stop to worship, to play, to pray, to spend time with family and friends, to sleep, to step out of a normal rhythm and routine in order to bask in the attention of God, in the attention of others. So what does a Sabbath look like for you? You could take a day of every week and, at least for the time being, step away from work. Maybe it's quiet evenings for you. Maybe it's going out in the woods. Perhaps it's going to a golf course. Perhaps it's sitting and having coffee either by yourself or with some friends. Maybe it's a deer blind. I don't know. We're in Leander, Texas. We got to say that, right? The point is stopping, stepping outside of your normal rhythm and routine to rest, to think, to pray. In these Sabbath moments, your primary task is to be attentive to God and to those around you. A passage that I love, and now that I have a toddler, I love this passage even more, is Psalm 46 and verse 10. Perhaps it's already come to your mind. I think this is crucial to this discussion. Psalm 46 and verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God." There is so much movement in our world, isn't there? All over the place. A man named Henry Nouwen said that we live in a wordy world. By that, he means there are just words all over. There's sounds. There's noise. Everywhere we go, there's noise. We get in a car, there's noise. We go into the store, there's noise. We drive down the road, and there's noise all around us. And so what the psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, in the noisy world, it's saying, push it back. Stop. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you need those quiet places, that quiet space for the Lord to speak to you and to enjoy the presence of God. So be still and know that I am God. I think that's what Sabbath is all about. It's about orienting ourselves to God. And sometimes it takes intentionally stepping out of the mold, the regular mold, what we know, in order to spend that time with our God. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family, we'd be so glad to pray with you, for you. If there's anybody here tonight that's ready to put Jesus on in baptism, we'd love to witness you make that decision this evening. So whatever needs you have, you can come forward now as we stand and we continue our time of worship.